Faith is the most blessed thing. I think of all the books that the Apostle Paul wrote, the way he magnified faith, I don't think that he magnified it any more than he did in the book of Hebrews. And I'm sure as we read scriptures, faith is defined many ways. But I don't know of a single place in the scripture that is defined as it is here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 and 2. That's not the only passage I want to look at this morning. I want to comment on this whole passage that I read to you. Now faith is. Then he gives the definition. From Genesis through the book of Revelations, faith is the most important subject. It's only through faith that a man can be saved. It's only through faith that we come to the Savior and know the Savior and understand truth. It's only through faith. It goes all the way back to our first father and mother. And I say that because the verse I read here to you said that Abel offered unto God by faith a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How did he know to offer that by faith? His parents must have told him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is as old as humanity itself. It goes back that far. And in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, we're told of this. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith inherit the promises. How do we inherit the promises of God? How do we lay hold of the promises of God? By faith. We believe the promises of God, and that's opposed to unbelief. You see this in the scripture. You see it in the book of Hebrews. Faith opposed to unbelief. He sets one over against the other. The blessedness of faith and the curse of unbelief. We're told all through the scriptures, by faith we lay hold upon the promises of God. But listen how the book of Revelations closes. Revelations 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. You have those with a heart of faith laying hold upon the promises of God, being saved by faith in those promises. You have the fearful and unbelieving rejecting the promises of God and perishing as a result. You have multitudes being saved by faith and multitudes going to hell through sin and unbelief. And that's all through the scriptures. You see this. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. One opposed to the other. And throughout the book of Hebrews, this unbelief is set in dreadful opposition to faith, and vice versa. I want to look at here in verse 5 and 6 that I read to you in chapter 11. Look at this, what he says about faith. In verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated, by faith he was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's utterly impossible to do anything to please God. We may do great things. We may give our body to be burned. What more could a person do than that? But without faith, that will not please God. We may give all our goods to feed the poor, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. We may know all any man can know. We may have knowledge of all mysteries. We may have the wisdom of Solomon. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. See how critical faith is? It's God's ordained means of being saved. It's God's ordained means of walking with Him and pleasing Him. And get this, this is not something we're born with. Faith is not something we muster up. Faith is a gift of God. And it's essential to salvation. It's essential to walking with Him. Without faith, no man can please God. We cannot walk in unbelief with a living God. It's impossible, utterly impossible. Look at the contrast in faith and unbelief in this book. Look in chapter 10 and look in verse 21 and verse 22. Look what's said here about faith and what's said about unbelief in another place I want to turn to. Look in verse 21. Having an high priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ is there on the right hand of God to make intercessions to those who come to God by Him. We have a high priest. Therefore, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. I want you to notice the correlation between true heart and faith. Let us draw near with a true heart in faith. What is it that purifies the heart? It's faith, isn't it? It's faith. A pure heart correlates with faith. And I want you to notice this. Draw near correlates with faith. Let us draw near in faith. See that? There's no pure heart apart from believing God. And there's no drawing near apart as we do it in faith. Now let's look at unbelief and see the awful contrast. Look over in chapter 3. Look in chapter 3 and look here in verse 12. The apostle does this all throughout this book. Look what he says in chapter 3 of Hebrews in verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you that evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Notice this correlation between that evil heart and unbelief. See that? What is unbelief? It's an evil heart. It's an evil heart. And notice this correlation. Unbelief and departing from the living God. Why do men depart from the living God? Unbelief. See the correlation between these things. And see how faith stands in opposition against unbelief and believing and unbelief. Faith purifies the heart, and by it we draw near to God through Christ. Unbelief manifests that evil heart and motivates one in departing from the living God. That's the difference between faith and unbelief. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Look in another place in chapter 3 of Hebrews and look in verse 18 and verse 19. I thought this is very telling about unbelief. Look what he said in verse 18. And to whom did God swear that they should not enter unto His rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now this is speaking about the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, not entering into the land of Canaan, that typical rest. Remember when God told Moses, it's time to go into the land of Canaan? And what did they say? They said, we've sent our spies over there, and they've come back and told us there's giants in the land. We're just like little grasshoppers. We can't defeat the giants. And besides, those cities are walled up to heaven, and we can't take those cities. What was it that kept them from entering into Canaan? It wasn't the walled cities. It wasn't the giants in the land. They could not enter in for one specific reason. They did not believe. That's it. That's it. They blamed the giants. They blamed the walled cities. But Moses said, your problem is your heart of unbelief. You cannot enter into that land except you do it by faith. Now look what he says in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Compare this to faith. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, that real rest, the rest of salvation for our souls, lest any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, there was only one way they could enter into Canaan, and that was by faith. And there's only one way, brothers and sisters, that you and I can obtain salvation and rest for our souls, and that's by believing in Christ for it. There's no other way. You can't pray it down from heaven. You can't work rest out. The only way we can enter into this rest is by believing what God says about His Son. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the only way to come to Him is by faith. The only way to enter into this rest is by believing Him. He that cometh to God must believe. And here in verse 11 of chapter 4, he contrasts faith and unbelief again. Look at this. Let us therefore be diligent, labor, to enter unto that rest by faith, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. When it comes to salvation and inheriting the promises of God in Christ and walking with God, faith is the most blessed grace there is. And I say that because we cannot inherit the promises. We cannot enter into this soul rest. We cannot go to heaven to be with the Lord forever apart from faith. It's impossible, isn't it? I say it's the most blessed of all graces. But unbelief, above all other curses, is the most dreadful because it shuts the soul out of God's blessings and from inheriting the promises of God. Unbelief is the most dreadful thing. You know, people talk about my sins. Boy, I did this. This was so bad. And I don't care if a person has robbed a bank yesterday. I don't care if you murdered somebody before you come to church this morning. That sin is not near as damnable and bad as the sin of unbelief. That's the most dreadful curse anybody could ever come under, is not believing God. Because it's impossible. It's impossible to walk with God. Impossible to believe, to be saved and walk with Him. Impossible. Unbelief will either drive the soul to despair, or it puts the soul under the law, working for its own blessings. Either way, the soul is shut out from the blessing and left to mope in the darkness and unrest of unbelief. Now look back over at my text in chapter 10 again. In chapter 10, in verse 38, Notice what the Apostle Paul says here. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He quotes this verse from an Old Testament passage in Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And Habakkuk lived in a day where the Assyrians were ready to, the Babylonians were ready to come down and take Judah and carry them off into Babylon. He lived in an awful, awful day. And though he lived in an awful, awful day and they were ready to be taken captive, they were the proudest people in the world. They were still offering their sacrifices and keeping their the holy days and their feast days. And they were so proud and arrogant. Read the book of Habakkuk. And it's chapter 2 and verse 4 that Paul quoted this passage from. And listen to what it says. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up in him, is not upright. But the just shall live by his faith. And what we learn from that verse that Habakkuk quotes is, how does a person walk humbly with the Lord? How does he keep from being lifted up in his pride and arrogance? Well, Habakkuk tells us how. The just shall live by his faith. Faith is so opposed to arrogance and pride and boasting. How does faith keep the soul low? That's where the Lord keeps us. He keeps us down at his feet. How does faith do that? The just shall live by his faith. Faith keeps us low and humble at his feet because faith looks outside of itself to God. You know why we don't have rest? You know why we get lifted up sometime in pride? We start looking at ourselves. And this is the way God weans us from looking at ourselves. He lets us look at ourselves and all we see there is wretchedness and sin and death and failure. And then through the eyes of faith, we look outside of ourselves to Christ. That's what keeps us humble and low at his feet. Look unto me and be ye saved. Why not look to yourself? All that's there is death. All that's there is pride and arrogance. Look outside of yourself. Look by faith to me. For I am God, and besides me there's none else. A just God and a Savior. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. What is it that keeps us from leaning to our own understanding? Faith. To live by faith in one outside of ourselves. One thing the heart is apt to do is to depend upon something else to some degree, and therefore it gets lifted up and it errs. Faith is looking outside of ourselves to Christ to be saved, to be delivered, to be led, to be kept. Therefore, that keeps us low at his feet. The just shall live by faith, or else he lives upon his pride and self-righteousness. And boy, we feel that, don't we? That's where Paul quoted that scripture from. The just shall live by faith. Only way not to live in pride and arrogance is to live by faith. The next time he uses this, he quotes Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. He quotes it three times in the New Testament. Every time we find out something about faith, we look at the context and we say, man, we found out in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, if you don't live by faith, you're going to live in pride and self-righteous, and your soul's going to get lifted up. Here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 to 17, he quotes this same passage again. And we learn something from it here. Let me quote it to you. He says there, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. See that? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul tells us here why he's so anxious to preach the gospel to those who are at Rome. Because he said the gospel is the power of God. It's the power of God to salvation. Why do we keep preaching the gospel? It's the power of God to salvation. It will save your soul through faith. Through faith in the gospel. How is it that a poor guilty sinner, wallowing around in his guilt and fear, is suddenly forgiven of all his sins? How does that happen? Through faith in the gospel. Through faith in the gospel. The prophets bore him witness that whosoever believeth in him shall receive forgiveness of sin. That's the power of God that's demonstrated in the gospel. The power to forgive sin. How would you feel this morning walking out of this place and going home knowing that God that you had sinned against had forgiven all your sins? Wouldn't that be the most amazing thing? Paul said, this is why I preach the gospel. I can't quit preaching the gospel. Because it declares unto us the power of God to forgive sins to everyone that believes. And we're here and we're guilty before God and we have no hope in and of ourselves. And then the gospel comes to us and says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be justified. Justified from everything that you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And we believe. And like the publican, we go down to our house and we're justified. How does that happen? The power of the gospel. It's unto salvation to everyone that believes it. And we come in here and we're dead in our trespasses and sin. We have no life at all. And the gospel says, he that believeth in the Son hath life. Isn't that wonderful? How can a man have life? It's declared in the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have life. We get all tangled up sometime. If faith is the channel by which life comes, or is faith the fruit of life? And it's both. It's both. And I'm not going to get tangled up in that controversy and that debate. I'm just telling you the gospel is the power of God. Believe it and be saved. That's the power of God. It comes to us right where it finds us. Believe in and be saved. That's faith. The just shall live by faith. And I like what the Apostle Paul said here. And I'm not for sure that I understand this. But he says in this verse 17, therein is the righteousness of God. In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I think this is what he's meaning, is this. The gospel reveals how God makes guilty sinners righteous. And how is that? He gives them, he imputes to them, the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. He puts it on their account. What is the righteousness of Christ? It's his perfect obedience. From the day he was born to the day he sat on the cross, it's finished. He worked out this righteousness. And now the Apostle Paul said this righteousness is revealed in the gospel. And it's revealed to what? To faith. There's only one way to have this righteousness, Shannon. You got to believe in Christ for it. It comes by faith. You can't feel it. You can't pray it down. You can't work it up. It's revealed to faith. And listen, It's not a one-time revelation. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ 43 or 44 years ago. I believed for this righteousness. I didn't stop believing Him then. And this righteousness wasn't revealed to me just one time. It's revealed to faith, to faith, to faith, over and over again. We live by faith. And this righteousness, aren't you, some of you just rejoice in the gospel all the time, don't you? You just rejoice in the gospel. And you read it, or you come here and you hear it, and it's just like you've never heard it before. It's new to you. It's revealed to your faith. And you come back next Sunday, it's revealed to your faith again. It's being revealed from faith to faith. And I hope we never get over living by faith upon the gospel. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. The just shall live by faith. And I think Habakkuk 2:4 really teaches us a lesson when we read it quoted in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 11. He quotes this again. And boy, what a lesson he teaches us in the book of Revelation, or in the book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul had gone down to those Gentiles at Galatia. He had preached the gospel of the grace of Christ to them. And they had received it. They had rejoiced in it, seemingly. And when Paul left, those legalistic, self-righteous Jews came down and they said, "We know that you've believed in Christ. That's essential. You must believe in Christ. You've been justified by faith in Christ. You have the righteousness of God by faith in Christ. And that was sufficient to be saved, but to stay saved and to stay justified and to retain this righteousness, faith is not enough in Christ. Now you must go to Moses. Now you must keep the feast days. Now you must be circumcised." And boy, they got themselves in an absolute mess. And Paul wrote to them here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Let me turn over there and read it. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. I thought I had it wrote down, but I don't. Listen to what he says. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith." No man is justified by the law. But wait, Bruce, wait. I'm a believer. I know I wasn't justified by the law in the sight of God before I believe, but now I believe, so now I can stay justified by keeping the law of Moses. Hogwash. Hogwash, my dad used to say. If you want to know what hogwash is, I'll tell you after the service. No man's ever been justified before believing nor after believing except by faith. We don't come to Christ and justified by faith and then go off and stay justified by what we do. Boy, this is that free gospel. This is the gospel of grace that when men heard Paul preaching it, they said, Oh, he's just saying, live like you want to, live like the devil. He's an antinomian. That's what they always say, isn't it? We're saved by grace through faith, not by works. We are kept by grace through faith, not by works. We didn't work to justify ourselves. We don't work to keep ourselves justified. The just shall live by faith. And boy, lay faith aside and go off to something else. I don't care what it is. Go off to tongues. Go off to emotionalism, intellectualism. Go off to anything else. And leave faith. Bud, you've got yourself in a mess. There's but one way to live, and that's by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Then back in our text, back in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, he quotes this again. Look at it here, what it has to do with. It has to do here by living in the realization of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse 38. Or look in verse 37. Hebrews 10:37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he won't delay, he'll not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? What's this pertaining to? Faith in his coming. The just are living by faith in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if any man draw back, cease to live some other way, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back into destruction, perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of our souls. You know what these verses tell us? They tell us something here. The gospel and faith in the gospel, living by that, is never going to change till the Lord comes. It's never going to change. We're not. Some tell us that we're going to leave the gospel and we're going back, Larry, to the rebuilding of the Jewish temple and offering of sacrifices. Boy, don't a passage like this. Live by faith in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way the church is going to live until this world ends, until the Lord comes again. We're never going to change that principle. We live by faith in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. Now the just shall live by faith in his coming. So from first to the time we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the time he comes back, it's a life of faith. Faith is a precious thing, isn't it? Boy, it's a precious, precious gift. On to the 11th chapter right quickly. Right quickly. And let me finish this quickly. Paul is going to tell us some things about faith. The first thing he tells us is this. It's the evidence. It's the confidence of what we hope for. Let me read it like this. Now, faith is the confidence, our assurance of things hoped for. Faith is our confidence. What do we hope for? Well, he just said up there in chapter 3 that we have in heaven an enduring substance. You say, Bruce, when you look out at your death, your dying, and the judgment to come in eternity, what gives you the assurance that when you die, you're going to heaven to be with Christ? Where do you get your confidence? You know where I get my confidence? My faith. I believe it. I believe it. That's what he says. Now, faith is the confidence of things hoped for. I hope for some things. You hope for some things. You hope that when you breathe your last breath, the angels are going to wrap you up in the wings and bury you up to heaven. Don't you? You have confidence in that? Well, here is where the confidence comes from. You believe it. That's your confidence. I believe it. The reason many live in dread and hopelessness of the world to come, they don't savingly believe. This world doesn't believe, and therefore they live in dread and torment of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who live in the exercise of faith, they have confidence. Let us draw near with confidence. That's how I know. That's how I have assurance. I believe. I believe. And my faith tells me, this is so. This is so. Secondly, he tells us in the portion of verse 1, faith is the proof of it. Notice that? Now, faith is the confidence of things hoped for. The proof of things not seen. Isn't that wonderful, the proof? I didn't see the Son of God come down from heaven, and you didn't either. Larry, we didn't see Him laying in a manger, did we? We didn't see Him going about to live a perfect life. We didn't see the transfer of sins from every elect soul to the bosom of Jesus Christ. We didn't see Him as tears rolled down His eyes and He said, "Father, why have You forsaken Me?" We didn't see them put Him in the grave. We didn't see Him raised the third day and ascend and sit on the right hand of God, making intercessions. I've never seen the book of life. I've never seen heaven or the saints and angels there. You say, "Bruce, what proof do you have that all of these things exist?" My faith. I believe it. Faith is the proof of things you cannot see. I believe it. That's the definition of faith. Now, faith is. Look what else he says about it in verse 2. "For by it the elders obtained a good report." By faith. Well, we know what that means in verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice, by which he obtained witness from God that he was righteous." A good report. Enoch was translated. He obtained a good report before he was translated. God spoke to him in some way or another and says, "Enoch, I'm pleased in you. You walk in by faith in me, I'm pleased in you." Noah obtained witness. He received instructions from God on how to build the ark and save his family. You look at these people, the abundance of people spoken of in Hebrews chapter 11, and God bore witness to them. They obtained witness from God. Look what these people did. Abraham forsook his father's house. Sarah received strength to bear a son when she was past bearing. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to suffer affliction. They subdued kingdoms, escaped the edge of the sword, were slaughtered and burned. And through it all, God bore witness to their souls in enlightening them and strengthening them and delivering them and giving them suffering and dying grace. And all of these died in faith. And then somehow or another, God held them up and bore witness to every one of them and gave them all a good report through faith. And you're here this morning and you struggle around, we struggle with sin, and everything you do, you see sin mixed with it. And God comes to you, and what does He say? "I'm pleased with you. I'm not angry with you anymore. I'm your Father. I'm pleased with you. I rejoice over you with singing. And I can't wait to take you into my bosom, into my house for all eternity." And it's through faith. It's through faith. You're here this morning, you're dependent upon your works. You're dependent upon what you do and your experiences and all of this stuff. Man, you're miserable. You're miserable. Because if you see sin mixed with all that you do, how much more does God see sin in? It's through faith that we obtain a good report. Believe in God. That's it. And verse 3, right quickly. You folks preach somebody to death. You want me to quit, start going to just go to sleep and I'll quit. But when you keep looking at me like that, I'm going to just keep on preaching. Through faith, look at this. This is what he says about faith. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Boy, this is a very critical verse here. It tells us something about faith. Now, I noticed some of you, when I was talking about heaven is real because I believe it. It's proof because I believe it. I noticed some of you looking a little bit strange at me. And I don't blame you. But this verse here tells us what regulates faith. Why we believe what we believe. What is faith's foundation? And what is that? The Word of God. By faith, we understand that the worlds were made by the Word of God. Here's where faith's foundation. Here's where we don't get plumb off and get in some kind of a fantasy land. Well, I believe in a utopia. No, I believe in this and I believe in that. This crazy stuff that people believe in. Well, here's our question. Where do you find that in all the written Word of God? Faith opens our understanding of God's Word. This is what the evolutionists don't understand when they look up and look around them. They say, boy, we just don't hardly have a grip on this. We don't know exactly where life originated at, but we're just going to keep studying it until we finally understand it. You're never going to understand it until you believe what God said in His Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that your understanding? If you believe Him, it is. In 6 days, He created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in it is. Through faith, we understand. We got more sense, poor people that we are, than these educated evolutionists. We understand. And the way we do is by faith. And you know what faith does? It opens our understanding about everything. You just wrestle and struggle around. You don't understand the gospel. How many people you talk to? I talked with a pastor one day and he said, Bruce, I just don't understand election. I just don't understand election. And I said, Garnet, your problem is not understanding. Your problem is you don't believe it. You just don't believe it. And people's problem with being saved by somebody outside ourselves, their problem is not understanding. The problem is they just don't believe it. They don't believe there's merit enough and power enough in somebody outside of them to save them, and them have absolutely nothing to do with it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We don't come to understand a bunch of stuff and then we believe it. Boy, that'll mess you up, Greg. You know, we had some dear ladies, precious ladies that came here, one especially. And her excuse, she just struggled with, she's just not converted. So what do you do when you're not converted? You struggle in all this unbelief and sin and guilt. And what she kept saying was, I need to know more. I just need to know more. I just need to know more. No, that you don't need to know more. Your whole problem is you just don't believe. You just don't believe. And until you believe the Lord Jesus Christ and what God says about Him, you're never going to understand anything. The disciples were listening to that wonderful message in John chapter 6 where the Lord said, except you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have no life in you. And everybody started going away. And the Lord said, you guys going to go with them? This is your opportunity. If you want to leave, right now is the time. Just go ahead and leave. And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life. And listen, we believe and are sure. He didn't say we're sure, therefore we believe, but we believe and therefore we're sure. Where did they get their assurance? Through faith. Where did they get their understanding? They believed. They believed what God said. And that's the only way I know to be saved, brothers and sisters. That's the only way I know to walk with God and face death and eternity, is by faith in what God says in His written Word. The Apostle Paul and a crew of men, sailors, had been out on the Mediterranean Sea for days, for weeks. been in a hurricane of some kind. And they thought they were all going to perish. They said, we're going to perish. Paul went downstairs and down under the deck and was seeking the Lord and praying. The Lord revealed to him that there's going to be cast out on this island. They were going to be saved. And Paul came up where those sailors were and he said, men and brethren, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be just as it was told me. That's what faith does. Faith lays hold of what it's been told. It believes it. And it lives, therefore, in the confidence and the proof of what it believes, because it finds it in God's Word. You're here this morning and you're struggling. You've got one or two problems. You're struggling. Your doubts and fear. I've been there. I've examined my own self. And I've always come to this conclusion. It's one, either you're not converted, you've never given yourself up to Christ to be saved by Him, so you've never truly trusted Him. You've always mixed your trust with works or experience or something like that. Either that, or you're just plagued, like so many of us are, with this awful unbelief. And if you are converted, your faith is in the Son of God, and you're struggling with all of this doubts and sin and unbelief, and one thing I can tell you, brothers and sisters, go to this book and believe what God told you. If He was here this morning, if He come down to heaven, what would He preach to us? He would open the Bible and say, turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 38, and let's read. And then He would preach on it. That's all He would tell us. And if you would go to Him in the pulpit and say, Lord, I really need assurance of that. I'm just so doubtful and fear. You know what He'd tell you? Then believe what I've told you. Oh, faith. Isn't it a precious grace? It's a precious thing, isn't it? Our Father, we thank You. Thank You for the gift of faith. Oh, and we cannot believe except through grace. I pray that You'd be pleased this morning to receive our worship. Bless Your Word. Forgive the strayings, the flesh, the vessel of clay. But Lord, take the message, the glorious message, the gospel, and take it home to all our hearts. Let us leave here this morning and be enlightened and see what we've never saw before, or reminded what we need to be reminded of, to believe You, to live every moment by faith in You. Oh, our Father, we ask these things and pray these things in the name of our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Is there any words before we close? Alrighty. See some of you Wednesday night. Be careful going home.
Somebody said it. I wrote it in my Bible a long time ago because it was so true. And underneath it is Don Fortin saying, believing comes, oh my gosh, I'll have to read it. It says, believing, understanding comes by believing. Believing never comes by understanding. That's what that's that lady was saying. Yeah, true. Don said that a number of times, so I wrote that down in my Bible.
I would never say it if I had to believe it.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about there in Hebrews 11.
Yeah, good message. It is plain as can be.
We have to
be reminded of it over and over.
A good reminder. Hopefully, did it record?